Success Mat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. Looking forward to Jake Plummer being with us today. ASU legend, former Arizona Cardinal quarterback. Wonder what he thinks about Aaron Rodgers' lack of weapons compared to what Carson Palmer has. Jake will join us via Skype from his home outside of Boulder, Colorado. Jake Plummer will be on board. He'll be in town next week for the national championship game. It's a busy period of time, obviously, with the Fiesta Bowl going on this week, the ASU and the Cactus Bowl, the Cardinals playing Seattle this week. So there's a lot happening on the football front. It's a Suns week where they're out of town, mercifully, although they play San Antonio next, who, by the way, is 18-0 at home. So good luck with that. Warren Moon is going to be with us on today's show, the Hall of Fame quarterback. He is the Seattle Seahawks radio analyst. I want to talk to him about what's different from the last time these two teams met. When the Cardinals played at Seattle earlier this year, that game was up in the air until the end, and the Seahawks put on a furious rally. If you remember, the Cardinals were beating up on them 22-7 at the half, and it looked like they're going to cruise the victory, and they had to fight their way through it and win 39-32. So the two teams combined for 71 points. I want to talk to Warren about what's different in the Seahawks team that is going to come here on Sunday. Eric is with us for a few minutes. So this is going to be our last show for the year. And if you were to look back on the year, and if I would have told you January 1 of this year that the Cardinals would be the best team in the NFC, would you have believed me on that one?
That seems believable.
Now, on a record standpoint, fans are saying, well, what about Carolina? I think the Cardinals are playing better than Carolina.
I would have been more surprised at the Suns' free fall than I would have been at the Cardinals' success.
If I would have told you Zach Greinke is going to sign with the Diamondbacks.
Oh, jeez. I would have never, ever guessed that.
If I would have told you Ty Domi's kid is going to be the superstar riser.
I could believe that.
If we're talking about players in the last year or personalities in the last year that have taken over Phoenix. Okay, Max Domi is still not a household name. But if we're looking at young, rising talent, he's the equivalent of Tyrann Mathieu, except he's on a team that nobody knows about. If you know what I mean by that?
Like, I do.
When I've stopped out at Marley's when they do their Big Red Raid show, and they said by far their biggest draw was Tyrann Mathieu this year. Doesn't matter who else shows up. It's no disrespect. But on the Coyotes' end, if Max Domi was on a team that was playing well and was in a space where they were relevant, like they're not relevant, which is unfortunate. And this isn't a swipe towards them. I like them. I want them to be a player in the market. But when they've just been so far off the radar, they're actually coming back. Now, if I would have told you Markieff Morris would still be here, just think about this. In the last year, the Gorin thing blew up, right? It's been just a banner year for our hometown basketball guys, not.
The most distinctive memory, one of the most distinctive memories I have of 2015, is sitting in the middle of the NFL Combine workroom the day of the NBA trade deadline and having all these national NFL people buzzing about, man, did you see what's happening with the Phoenix Suns today? Just they basically just took the roster and just turned it upside down in a span of like 2.5 hours. That, to me, we're at the NFL Combine. We're at the biggest of biggest events in the NFL offseason besides the draft, the Combine. And all these NFL people are talking about the NBA trade deadline and, oh, this little Suns team out in the West Coast.
If I would have told you Todd Graham's team would be a 500 squad.
Never believe it. And I also wouldn't believe that Bobby Hurley's first year at ASU would be 10-3. And
what would you have believed Bobby Hurley was coming here?
No. I mean, I would have guessed maybe that Sendek would have been ushered out.
Yes,
but
yes,
the
yes.
way ASU basketball is playing right now, I mean, they are gaining momentum in this market and well deserved.
Well, and Dan Marley's gaining ground
for
in
sure.
this market.
Good point.
If you were to look at the basketball scene, I was talking about this very subject with one of the main people on the high school level. Because this is not, in my view, a great year of high school basketball in the state of Arizona. And we cover all sides of it here at Sports 360 AZ. We look at the high school, the college, the pro. There's no particular order. We are the Sprouts and Whole Foods of sports content and sports media. It's, we aim high. And so on the high school end, he said, this is not a great year because we had so many very good players that left or were ill-advised. Marvin Bagley. Marvin Bagley would probably have to be the biggest disappointment, not just the kid, and not the kid, I should say. The whole scenario of the best high school basketball player to come along that I've seen in Arizona, and this year he's sitting out because the people, the person advising him said, you need to leave Corona del Sol and go over to this academy, and you're going to be taken away from your friends. You're a really good student. And I think people probably would have known you're on the radar if you'd stayed at Corona. But instead, the kid's not even playing. And then there were a couple of other very good high-end basketball kids that decided to go chase the prep school thing. And so the quality of high school ball is not as good because we lost the best players in our state. I don't like that. On the college end of things, I really like what Bobby Hurley and Dan Marley are doing for their respective programs. Sean Miller's already produced. Jack Murphy at NAU is having a tough year. I don't quite know why. I mean, Eric and I think that was one of my favorite stories that we did was following them and covering them this year because it was so off the radar, and they became a really good story. But on the basketball end of things, the Suns have easily been the biggest disappointment. And I'm not going to sit here and rant and rave on the 2015 year just about one team that can't seem to find their ass with either hand, okay? Because that's what's going on down there. It's just disturbing how they've taken a great brand and it just sits there. On the baseball end of things, so I'm very optimistic. I want to turn this into 2016. 2016, I'm very optimistic that we are going to at least be talking about the Cardinals in the NFC title game. I don't know if they're going to win it all. I don't know if they're going to go to the Super Bowl. If they lose the first round playoff game, their first playoff game, then you have to say what a lead balloon on a great, great, great season. No matter what happens against Seattle this Sunday. And we'll talk to Jake Plummer in a couple of minutes and Warren Moon in a couple of minutes about both guys are going to join us in the next couple segments.
And I'll take it a step further, Brad, to your question of would you believe the Cardinals would be the best team in the NFC? Did you know that the Cardinals are the Super Bowl favorite now?
I believe that.
They are the Super Bowl favorite, not in the NFC. They are the Super Bowl favorite, according to Vegas.
Well, they should be. You pay attention to that?
Shocking. Honestly, Twitter tells me everything I need to know. Even if I don't want to know it, it's there for me.
So there's some things that if we were to look and make big, bad, bold predictions for 2016 now. Last year, I made this big, bad, bold prediction that the Diamondbacks would win 82 games, and fans just pounded away on me, and I was three games short. But it was something fun for fans to get up on Twitter in the morning and say, see you, moron, you're wrong again. It's fine. Knock yourselves out. I think big bad predictions, the Suns are not going to even be a 500 team this year by the time they finish up 2016. Now, it's pretty easy for me to throw that out there with they're circling the drain right now. They won't even be a 500 team. Arizona State will make the NCAA tournament. How's that? Is that a big stretch? You going to give me that one?
I don't think that's a big stretch.
Okay. So do you need me to go further out on a limb? Zach Greinke will win 22 games. The Diamondbacks will win 92 games.
What, you had them at 84 this past year, I believe?
82.
82.
Let me think, what else? The Coyotes will make the playoffs in 2016. I think that one's not that hard. They're already in a good spot. The Cardinals will add a quarterback in 2016. Not a big stretch.
True or false, Rich Rodriguez will be U of A's head coach at the end of 2016.
Man, that's a good one because every year it changes. I'd say true.
I would say true, too.
I would say true. If Bob Baffert steps up again, anything's possible. And I heard that's what happened on this last go-around. 2016 on a personal level. Santa didn't bring me hair again, so that's the way it goes. I think you'll be a dad by the end of 2016. How's that one? You like that one? You're not going to jump on me on that one, are you?
No, it's fine. I think that's possible.
That's possible. Well, yeah, anything's possible. You just have to work less, if that's possible. Are you going to another bowl game this New Year's, by the way? Are you going to another TCU game?
I am, yep.
Take an extended weekend?
I am.
How many vacation days did you get here in 2015, by the way?
Vacation days. The standard 2 weeks. Well, the nice thing is I'm going to be gone for a part of 2016.
So you're already rolling them in.
Ushered in.
That's good. I like that.
Instead of a pension, I negotiated extra vacation time. So.
Oh, man. Jake Plummer here in a couple of minutes. There are a couple other things that I saw. So we have the Final Four in college football coming up this weekend. Clemson plays Oklahoma. Michigan State plays Alabama. I'm really hoping that Michigan State and Oklahoma win their respective games. For some reason, I'm not all into Clemson like everybody else. And Alabama's been there, done that. They're going to turn around, hand the ball off to Derrick Henry 40 times probably in that game. And Michigan State's defense is going to have to stop him. The real story here, though, is Oklahoma's quarterback Baker Mayfield has become the new, or at least trying to become the new Johnny Manziel. Baker Mayfield has decided that he's going to rip TCU's coach. He's going to be brash and bold and be out there. And you want him just to get run over by Clemson, I'm
assuming. No, and I like Baker Mayfield. I think his story is great. It's just interesting when he's at Media Day earlier this week and someone asks him just a random question, and he just brings TCU into the conversation. It wasn't like the reporter was like, hey, what do you think about TCU and Gary Patterson? They asked a question, and he just kind of went into this thing about, well, Gary Patterson doesn't like me, and I don't really respect them, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, whoa. You know, it's part of recruiting. You're not going to get all of the players that you want, and if you're a player, you're not going to get all the offers that you want.
So next week, if Oklahoma wins, you're going to be the guy that walks up to Baker Mayfield at Media Day and says, what do you think about TCU?
No, I'm not going to be. I'm hoping Oklahoma wins. As a fan of the Big 12, I'd like to see them win it all. And I agree. I think they're going to beat Clemson. And I think if it's Alabama-Oklahoma, I think Oklahoma will beat Alabama.
All right. Jake Plummer is going to join us on the other side. Former Cardinal quarterback, ASU legend, Pac-12 network analyst. We talk pro football and college football every week with Jake the Snake. And Warren Moon will join us in about 15 minutes from Seattle as well. Our final show for 2015. Thanks for making us a part of you on a day-in and day-out basis. Of course, our television show over on Fox Sports Net Arizona airs tonight before and after the Coyotes. Thanks for being with us.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Jake Plummer joins us now for a couple of minutes via Skype outside his home in Boulder, Colorado. And if you had the receivers that Carson Palmer is throwing to, no offense to your guys, you had some good receivers back in the day, but you didn't have, I don't think, near the depth of receiving core. You would have thrown for a lot of yards too, right?
I imagine so. In this day and age, where you're chucking it all the time downfield and the rule changes have allowed for a little more freedom to just put it out there in a zone. But those guys, they look pretty good. I really like Michael Floyd. A couple times watching him catch the ball, he's got that mentality I really like, where you know that as soon as he gets it, he's like daring those guys to come tackle him. Not just one, two, or three guys, but he's ready to take them all on, and I love that. You got some speedsters and some guys making some big plays, and you know, Fitzgerald's the key to that. I think he's just the gel that holds it all together, and a good vet that sets the tone. But man, they're playing really well. The balanced attack on offense looks lethal, and defensively they looked pretty good. They gave one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL the fits in their game the other night. So they looked really good. I'm looking. They moved up my chart as far as strength going into the playoffs.
Then let's talk about that. If you're looking at the NFC right now, who's a team that could give the Cardinals trouble, in your view?
Man, that's tough to say. I mean, I know Carolina, you know, they lost, but they're 14-1, looking really strong. I still have to say the Seahawks, you know, even though they did lose to St. Louis, that's just a veteran team that has a lot of players that when this time of year comes around, they get like kind of crazy. They start smelling it and sensing it and feeling it, and their game steps up. So they're a team, Seattle, I think, that can play with anybody across the league. But other than that, I mean, I think, you know, the Cardinals look really good. They're playing solid. What they did to Green Bay, you know, Green Bay is a great team, has lost a few real close games. and on the last play lost a game, and they just obliterated them. So great statement there by that Cardinals team. Where they're sitting at right now is crazy that they could possibly sew up the number one seed if they went out and say Carolina loses. I think that's a possibility, but otherwise, just to be in that air of wins right now, the amount of wins they've stacked up, where they're at, it's really impressive.
Jake Plummer joins us via Skype. Okay, so Bruce Arians has said that he is going to play his starters this week against Seattle. There'd been some discussion about, look, do you rest Carson Palmer? Is his index throwing hand in the right set? It'd be 20 days in between games for him. This is a rhythm league, Jake. I agree with Arians' decision. Some do not. What's your view on sitting out guys late in the year, getting them healed up for the playoffs?
It's tough to say sit them out. I imagine he'll make the right move, and a smart move, I think, is to put him through all the pregame, put him through everything, maybe even put him out and let him play the first half. But you got to get some reps with the long break that they're looking at, possibly having. I think that it's tough to take that long of a time off. Your body is just in such a rhythm right now, and in a routine where you go through the game, you heal up, you get back at it, you go to another game to take that break. Yeah, you get to heal up, but that natural ebb and flow of the ups and downs of the game, it's hard to when you miss that for so long. So you know, I've really only been in that situation a couple times here, and really once in Denver where we had a first round bye. And it wasn't hard to come back and get ready, but there is that little sense of, man, I really feel like I should be playing this weekend. I should be out there hitting and doing my thing. So we'll see. I think Coach Arians has proven that he's a really smart coach who has a thumb on his players, has a pulse on what's going on in that building, and so far has done a brilliant job putting that team in position to win and play well along with his whole coaching staff. So they'll make the right decision. You know, if Carson's finger needs rest, then give him rest. But if not, those reps are valuable right now.
Yeah, and he has said, Arians has said, he is going to play his starters this week. And I'm in agreement with that. I don't see being out for that long either. Over on the college side, so New Year's Eve, we have the Final Four. You look at Clemson and Oklahoma and Michigan State and Alabama. Do you think that there is much difference between these four? I know you're going to be here next week for the title game out in Glendale, but as we get into New Year's Eve games, is there a team you feel has the advantage over the others?
I have to go with just Clemson because they've run the table. Deshaun Watson's a great player. They've rose up to every challenge, and they're undefeated. So, you know, they're obviously the favorite. But I really like Baker Mayfield. I think he's a gunslinger with a chip on his shoulder, a guy who's going to do some amazing things. He might hurt you a couple times, but he's going to make some amazing plays. And that team really thrives on his energy and what he brings to the field. So they could shake it up and beat Clemson. Out of Michigan State, Alabama, I think, you know, Michigan State's got a great defense. They're going to get – they know what they're going to get against Alabama. You're going to get Derrick Henry. He might run the ball 40 times. I mean, that's just what they're going to do in Alabama. But I think these are two great matchups. And for me personally, I'm pulling for Michigan State Clemson just because it's two new teams that we haven't seen in a final or fighting for that number one spot in a long time. So it'd be fun to see both those teams. But looking forward to watching those games. Also really looking forward to Stanford play in Iowa in the Rose Bowl. That's going to be a fun one to watch.
How big a game is this for Todd Graham? It's West Virginia. It's Saturday night after all the games are done. It's a home game, essentially. They're playing in the Cactus Bowl. How big of a game is this for Todd Graham?
Well, it's a great way to end the season. You know, an up and down season that was definitely didn't live up to the expectations of everyone down there in the Valley. For whatever reason, they probably already analyzed a lot of that film and are looking ahead to next year. But you know, kind of what I told Berkovici, we talked a little bit and texted back and forth, and his question was to try to, you know, get these young guys to stay motivated through this bowl game, and there should be no problem there to be motivated. You want to end with a winning season. Right now, sitting at 500, and the fact that if they lose, they can be under 500. That's not a good way to end the year. You want to end the season on a high note. make sure you're, you know, as him being the leader, is showing those young kids how to work through this time, this gap right now, and be prepared and go out there and let it all hang out. This is his last game as a senior. For Todd Graham, he's got to just go out there and coach his style and get after it. I think he's going to be aggressive on defense, and on offense we're going to see a lot of the run game, and hopefully they'll let Burko air it out, throw some deep dig routes and some deep posts and corners, and show us if he maybe has a chance to go to that next level by you know, airing it out and stretching the field, because they got the ability to. They got the guys. So hopefully they can just go and really play with a lot of passion and energy. That's what I want to see, is guys really into it, playing hard for each other with a lot of energy and a lot of life, and see what happens.
I'll let you go off that. Great insight there. Hey, Happy New Year. Appreciate the time as always.
Awesome. Thank you, Brad. You guys have a Happy New Year also.
Jake Plummer with us for a couple of minutes, and we're back with more after this timeout. Let's get a closer view now of the Seahawks as they come in to take on the Cardinals on Sunday to wrap up the regular season. Hall of Fame quarterback and Seahawk radio analyst Warren Moon with us for a couple of minutes. What's different, Warren, about this Seahawk team coming in this Sunday from what we saw last month between these two teams?
Well, if you take away Sunday's game where we didn't play very well, I thought the six-week stretch before that, we played some very efficient football. Our quarterback, Russell Wilson, probably played one of the best stretches of football over a four-game stretch that any quarterback has ever played in the history of the game, throwing 19 touchdowns and only no interceptions with about 138 quarterback rating. So he's on top of his game at the right time, and our offensive line had really improved. They really struggled in the first part of the season because they were all a younger group and really put together right there at the end of preseason, but they've kind of gelled and played well together. And then our defense, because our offense has been playing so well, has been able to sit over there on the sideline and rest and be rested, and then when they get out in the field, they play the way they normally have played over the last few years. So our team was starting to come together at the right time. Now, we had a little hiccup on Sunday against the Rams, and hopefully that's just a hiccup and we can get back on track this week.
The offense, without Marshawn Lynch and you lose Rawls with a broken ankle, how have you been able to put it together? It seems like you look at Doug Baldwin as someone who's really emerged into a star in this league, but let's just talk about the weapons around Russell Wilson, how that's worked out.
Well, we've kind of been going by running back by committee the last couple of ball games. You know, 2 weeks ago we had 183 yards on the ground with Bryce Brown in there, and also Christian Michael, a guy that we drafted in the second round a couple of years ago, released him, and we got him back this year. A lot of that has to go to our offensive line. They've just been playing good enough to, it doesn't matter who you put back there, they're gonna run for yards. And I think the fact that Russell's playing so well, and him and Doug have a great chemistry right now, as you talked about. You know, Doug's had a stretch where he's gone five games with at least one touchdown, and four games with two touchdowns. So those two guys are on the same page. And then Tyler Lockett has done a great job as a rookie. He's going to go to a Pro Bowl as a rookie, as a returner, but he's also done a great job in our passing game. So we've got a lot of guys contributing on our offensive side of the ball, and it's been a lot of different faces this year because of all the injuries, but it seems like whoever's been asked to step up, they step up.
What's the view in Seattle from the Seahawks towards what's going on here in Arizona this year?
Well, I think they have great respect for the Arizona Cardinals, no question about it. Arizona's having one of the best years in this league. I think they're one of the most well-balanced teams on both sides of the football in the league right now, and they're playing with a lot of confidence. They're making a lot of big plays on both sides of the ball. They're scoring on defense. They're scoring big plays on offense. And like I said, they just have everything going right now, and they're staying relatively healthy. So that has a whole lot to do with it as well. If you can stay healthy, even though they've had some injuries to their running backs, and that it seems like whoever they've had step in has really stepped up and played well also. And you have to have that. You have to have good depth on your football team in order to maintain a high performance of play, because this is a long season. It's a grind, and guys are going to go down. But if you have quality backups, it's going to really help you.
In terms of playoff positioning, what does this Sunday's game mean? There's been some talk down here, maybe the Seahawks would rest some guys. I don't think that's the case. You fill me in on that, the feeling in Seattle towards the playoff positioning.
I think the only way we would rest some guys is if they really needed it, because they have an injury that they're trying to nurse and get healthy. But if these guys are healthy and ready to play, Pete's going to play them. He doesn't have that same type of mentality that a lot of coaches do of breaking the chemistry of a team, breaking the rhythm of a team and the momentum by sitting guys down. And I think we want to finish the season on a winning note. You want to finish with momentum. You want to finish going into the playoffs on a positive side. You don't want to go into the playoffs having lost your last two ball games. So I think it's important for this team to go into Arizona, really play well, and try and get a win as they go into the playoffs.
Last question, Warren. What is it about Pete Carroll and how his teams finish? It's not how you start, it's how you finish in sports. And every year you look at the Seahawks, and granted, you had a hiccup on Sunday, I get it. But by and large, the Seahawks look like they're coming in playing some of their best football of the season. That's usually the case in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, that's been Pete's motto since he's been here. Not only how you start a game as opposed to how you finish, but it's also how you start the season and how you finish. And that's why we've done so well in December, November and December, is because that's how he coaches his football team. He wants you to be hitting your stride at the right time of the season, which is November, December. You want to be playing your best football at that time of the year because that's what's going to take you into the playoffs and hopefully win a Super Bowl. So he starts the season out that way. He starts games out that way as far as, okay, we didn't start well today in the game, but it's how we finished the football game. We've been a really good fourth quarter football team, too, since he's been here. So that model really stands strong in all the players' minds as they go into football games, as they go into football seasons.
Well, last time these two teams met, what was it, 71 points? It was a real shootout right down to the end, and we look forward to seeing you on Sunday. Appreciate the time. Thanks.
Hey, thank you very much, and a Happy New Year to you.
There you go. Warren Moon, Hall of Fame quarterback with us for a couple of minutes, and we're back with more after this timeout. Jared Cohen joins us now for a couple of minutes. It's our final show of 2015. Jared has been working feverishly and tirelessly. I'm not overstating that, am I? On the Jared does the recruiting roundup. He every week with Jason Jewell, which is a nightmare in its own right. Am I right about that?
Dealing with Jason on a weekly basis is not something I recommend to everyone. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but I love the guy.
You love the guy, and I guess you've been working on this all academic team. For people that aren't aware of what the all academic team is, it's something really cool that we decided to do. What, years ago when we first started this venture?
4 years ago. One of the first things you mentioned to me when we got started with all of our high school content.
It's like, I got it. This is the best player in terms of yards, but we don't know who they're playing against. This is the best player in terms of size. Okay, I got that. It's the best player number of catches. Maybe that's the only guy that the quarterback wants to throw it to.
Offers.
People get offers all over the place. But when it comes to what is their grade point average, please let me know, are you getting it done in the classroom? And so we've done this every year, but you've really taken this on along with our buddies over at Shamrock Farms, which is great of them. And you just released it. How many kids this year?
We had 260 football nominations.
Wow.
And we are about to release our volleyball all-academic team for the very first time this year, and we had about 140 nominations for that. So for the first year of having done that, we got great support. So over between football and volleyball, we just missed 400 nominations total.
We don't care if it's 1,000 nominations. We're looking for coaches that say, this person, guy or girl, football or volleyball, and we're going to do this in other sports too, that they're getting it done in the classroom. So it's the coach that actually has to get in touch with us to say, here's, and they all get the note about it.
Yeah, we open it up to everyone too. You know, coaches, Cibicue, you know.
We're big in Cibicue.
Cibicue got a nomination
That's
in
awesome.
Volleyball.
It's awesome.
Great. I had to look up, to be honest, no disrespect to Cibicue. I'd never heard of it
it's
before.
Up the White Mountains.
So
I've
I learned
it.
Something new every day. It's up near the White Mountains.
Yep.
And Sholo, Snowflake, Tonopah Valley, you know, there's a lot of those schools out there, White Mountains, very well represented. But we open up to everyone. We throw it out on Twitter. We announce it. Parents, friends of some of these student athletes can nominate. I had someone do that via Twitter this year, where you got to check out this kid on Twitter. He tweeted me and say, this kid's got a standout GPA. You know, it doesn't matter how we get it, as long as we get the nominations, because these are the type of kids that definitely deserve the recognition.
Because here's the thing. These kids then put it on their college applications, and so when they receive this award, it's part of what they do. It's part of who they are. And so, yeah, it's great you run the fastest. It's great you have all the yards, but I think that parents – You know, I've raised four kids. I think parents know that when their kids get into college, they need that extra push. And for some of you kids that are looking at this, aim to be on the all-academic team.
Yeah, and what's fun for me, just to add on to that briefly, there's one young man who is now a two-time winner last year and this year.
He didn't screw up, huh?
Nope. And the dad informed me that, because we do digital certificates for the first teamers, and if they want to link it, they want to save the JPEG, if they want to print it themselves, they can. This young man now for 2 years in a row has printed them out on some nice paper and framed them, and is also sending them out to colleges as part of it. So that's pretty rewarding for me as we put this together, that a young man is able to take something like that and really show a lot of pride in it, because he deserves it. That young man, I think, has a 4.5 GPA, which is incredible. So.
No, and the people at Shamrock Farms, when I talked to them about this, they get it. Those people really get it, that it's about community. Because we can do all this pro and college and high school stuff all day long, but you know, let's try to make a little bit of a difference. So on that note, so you've done the recruiting roundup now with Jason. You're the recruiting guy. Give me somebody that's not on the radar or maybe below the radar that fans in 2016, here's one to watch or two to watch that you know that they're not going to sign in February. They're going to be on the high school field next year. Who are those guys?
Man, there's quite a few. You know, Jason and I were actually talking about a few guys yesterday who could be in that category. And Centennial has a young man named Andrew Nichols, who is a tight end. He also plays defensive end. And Centennial has all these big guys.
Sure.
It's easy to get them lost in the fold, because when you go to a Centennial game, there's just big guys everywhere.
Yep.
This young man is very talented, and he really fits the mold of one of those blocking tight ends, which is kind of a lost art this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about that kid, he doesn't have any big offers yet, but I always hear that there's schools in the mix for him, and you watch him on tape and it makes sense. Another kid who started to get a lot of attention at the end of this season, who I think is going to blow up next year, happens to be another tight end. His name is Jared Poplawski over at Saguaro. He was offered by ASU on the day of the Territorial Cup this past month. And I think next year he's going to be one of the more recruited tight ends on the West Coast, because this kid, blocking tight end, but is really athletic, great feet, and has great hands off the line of scrimmage.
Okay, yes or no, U of A will win the NCAA tournament this year?
In basketball?
In basketball.
I'm going to have to say no.
Okay.
I'm gonna say
lost
though,
all your points as a U of A alum. It's fine.
But I would be speaking for a lot of U of A fans that they are pleasantly surprised with how this team has been able to progress based on how they looked the first month of the season.
Okay, they play ASU on Sunday, and I think it's going to be a very competitive game.
Absolutely,
I think it's going to be a very competitive game, and I'm actually happy that ASU basketball has become relevant again.
ASU basketball, it's all about depth. You know, if they can get their depth to really come in on a nightly basis and play, they're going to be a tough out every single night. But if they only have a couple guys show up every so often over the course of Pac-12 play, it's going to be hard for them. They really only go with about an 8-man rotation on a nightly basis.
Okay,
so.
Eric asked me this earlier. I'll throw it at you because you do follow U of A very closely. Will Rich Rod be the coach after next football season?
I think absolutely yes.
Yeah, I do too.
I think this was his big flirt with some major programs. I think he was gratified and reassured by U of A and some of their big cigars at the end of the day.
Let's just cut through it. Bob Baffert.
There was some people at the end of the day that showed interest, and whether money was involved or not, who mm-hmm. knows? But at the end of the day, there were enough people saying this is where you need to be, and I think he's going to be there at least another year, maybe at least two more years.
Okay, so you are someone like Eric that has been here all your life. So I'm at the Sun Sixers the other night. I'm sending you some text messages. Jared's pretty disgusted because you are Mr. Optimist. It's fine. You see the glass being very full on things. But, man, you're wounded over how bad they are.
Yeah.
Are you getting tired of me just raking them over the coals? Or are you just?
No. I was at first.
I was wearing you out, huh?
Not wearing me out, but
negative.
But it was just like, oh, come on. Like, they've got some good pieces, this and that. I'm at the point now where it's just like, because I have all these people hitting me up they got to blow it up. I was like, oh, so you want to be bad for another 5-6 years as you're trying to like, and everyone's like, and this is the thing that drives me nuts with the blowing it up aspect. For all your Thunder and maybe Pelicans were supposed to be better this year, or some of these other teams that have completely blown it up and have turned it around with superstars, I raise you the Kings. I raise you the Sixers, who you saw the other night.
The Kings have DeMarcus Cousins, who's a disaster.
How many lottery
picks?
Jerry
Colangelo, who's gonna. I don't care about the past. Jerry wouldn't have taken Joel Embiid.
It's not the past. It's a more about how often do you see teams blow it up? Because you bring up the past on teams that it's worked for. Yes. There's just as many teams or more that it hasn't worked for.
When LaMarcus Aldridge decides that San Antonio is a better situation for him to live in as a city.
That's because his family lives in Texas.
I get it. I understand. Yeah, I understand. But if you're trying to recruit to Phoenix, okay, this whole notion of blowing it up, it's really not blowing it up. It's how are you going to attract main guys to come here rather than it being a stop off? I mean, Eric Bledsoe's having another knee surgery and he's the supposed face of the franchise. He's not a face of the franchise. He barely wants to do any media stuff. I don't find him to be very embraceable. It's not he's a bad guy. It's just that's not his thing. He's a complimentary piece. A year ago, I mean, Eric went on a rant earlier about Isaiah Thomas and Goran Dragic a year ago, and if I would have told you at the end of 2015 we'd be sitting here and they're worse than they were a year ago, I don't think you would have bought that.
No.
But there they are. I mean, it's just a disaster.
It is, and then you watch what's gone on with the Lakers, and they're in a better position to ultimately succeed.
Philly's in a better position, Jared.
Look at
the guy making the decisions there versus the people
now.
Making decisions. Yes, they're in a better position now.
They've got a long way to go in terms of talent. They've got a couple good guys.
I don't
see
anybody on the Suns. It's Jahlil Okafor.
No, but after that, Nerlens Noel is like Michael Olowokandi.
He was pretty good the other night.
Have a point guard throwing lobs to him.
If Tyson Chandler knew how to set a screen up high, that the Suns might have beat the Cavaliers. Instead, it's a moving pick. It's clearly a moving pick.
Yes.
I mean, come on. So I think I like where Philadelphia is. So that's just me. Do you have a big, bold prediction then for 2016 on any front, pro, college, high school? Big, bold prediction. I told Eric he's probably going to be a dad. He turned white as a ghost. My big, bold prediction.
I don't think I can top that one.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Wow,
he was squirming.
Let's see, a bold prediction,
big,
2016.
Big, bold prediction, 2016.
It's not that bold to go out and say I think the Diamondbacks could win the NL West. That's not that bold anymore.
Okay, how many wins?
I think they can win
I said 92.
I was just about to say 95.
Wow.
95.
That's big and bold.
Yep. I was thinking 95 wins and a NL West title. But I don't know if that's as bold as it used to be, especially when you put in the same conversation of Eric having a kid. That's a lot more
bold. Well,
but
this is our final show of 2015, so you better lay your predictions out.
My bold prediction is the Cardinals in 2016 will be in the Super Bowl.
Okay, that's good. Who's going to get fired? Every year there's a coach in our community that gets fired.
With the high school front?
No, college and pro.
Oh, college, high school.
I don't want you laying a high school coach out.
No, because I was going to say I'm not going to go there.
Poor guy.
I'm a huge fan of a lot of the high school coaches
there.
I wouldn't do that.
No, on the pro or college level, do you see a coach that's going to get blown out?
Jeff Hornacek.
And I would say I think you're right. Their next two games are San Antonio, which are 18-0 at home. They haven't lost at home.
And they got good
OKC. Luck with that. Then they have OKC. So then you go with, after that, they've got the Kings and Lakers. I don't know if he's going to make it to 2016 by the end of this week.
Wow.
That's just me.
Happy New Year, Jeff Hornacek.
I mean, they may have figured it out by blowing out the assistant coaches.
That does nothing for me. And you'd call me Mr. Optimist.
Wow.
You know? Blowing out a couple assistants. I'm not really sure what that does. But, you know, congrats to them for making some sort of move.
So there's Jared Cohen weighing in, part of our team here, and an important part of our team. Everybody's important on our team, but we don't have the biggest team in the world. But we have a good team.
A lot of role players.
Great team. Yeah. So the way that we're going to finish off 2015 is the thank you to you for being a part of what we do. We have grown again significantly this year, and we just keep doing our thing just here every day, just here. Just doing our thing. and appreciate you guys being involved with us. Our website is sports360az.com. Jared Nielsen has been a big part of this show again, year after year, day after day. I might need to get him an alarm clock for 2016. That's about the only thing that I would say on Jared Nielsen's front. On Jared Cohen's front, I might need to get him a glasses empty just so he can go after some people occasionally. On Eric's front, I just might need to say, lighten up and go be a dad. I might need to say that, but it's none of my business. Jordan Hamm, well, there's just not enough time. That kid's a disaster, but he's part of our team as well. Thanks to all of you for being a part of it as well. Sports360AZ.com. We appreciate the partnership with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sisman.